Join me in prayer. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We honor you, our living Lord and Savior, King of Kings, great High Priest. We come before you as needy people. We come today honoring you and thanking you for life, forgiveness, grace, power, and the ability to overcome. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you and glorify you. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're here with us today and you're a guest, God bless you for being with us. Welcome. We'd love to get to know you better. Please let us know how we can be of assistance to you. Well, today we go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I hope you have your Bibles here today. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We're finishing up what we started. It seems so long ago in the month of December during our Advent time. We come now to look at this great confession, the final phrase, the final line of our great confession found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is giving these words to Timothy, the young preacher, reminding him that this is the great confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mystery of godliness. And I want you to keep your Bible open. I'll be asking you to turn somewhere else in just a moment. And so we read 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul says, I'm writing these things, verse 14. I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, that is, in the household of God, in the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth, by common confession, the church, this is our confession. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And then we have these wonderful words, whether they were sung as a hymn or made in the form of a confession as we do today. He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, was revealed in the flesh. He was vindicated in the spirit. He was seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world. And then we have it today, taken up in glory. Taken up in glory. Now, if you'll take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, if you'll turn there. Our focus will be on looking at these words that are given to us of the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus Christ taken up into glory. That is, he literally left the earth physically and ascended off the earth, lifted off of the earth against the force of gravity and ascended into heaven through the heavens to the heaven of heavens. Luke's writing this to a man named Theophilus. He gave him first the gospel of Luke, now he gives him these words. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. That's Luke, Luke's gospel. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven. Please notice that phrase. After he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, that is the Lord Jesus, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Verse 9. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into the heaven." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it. Bless the reading of your word, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we here read, "taken up in glory." Our focal truth is this, that Jesus Christ, the great mystery of godliness, this perhaps is as astounding a mystery as any of these other phrases. They all are mysterious. He was revealed in flesh. God revealed in flesh, mystery. He was vindicated in the Spirit, God in flesh. This human being, fully God and filled with the Holy Spirit completely. Seen of angels. The angels saw things about the glory of the Lord Jesus, mysteries they did not even know. Proclaimed among the nations. This is the mystery. We preach Jesus to the nations. That's the message. That's our focus. That's what the church talks about first. Our first priority is to preach Jesus. Believed on in the world. I'm in a room filled with people who have believed like myself in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've confessed him Lord, you believe God raised him from the dead, and you're saved, believed on in the world, and now this mystery, they saw it with their eyes. They witnessed this. We're reading eyewitness words. How is it that we have confidence in being believers? Well, we believe things that were seen by eyewitnesses. They wrote these things down. They gave us these clear words about the Lord Jesus and his life. And now in his glory, the word taken up, this verb, it means raised. He was raised up. That is his ascension. His ascension is mysterious and glorious. I've said to you before, this entire confession is a statement of the absolute stupendous glory of Jesus Christ coming, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. So what do you have? You have crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You have his burial. He's dead. Everybody thought it was over. You have the astounding fact that he's risen from the dead, raised from the dead 3 days later. And this amazing, mysterious, unbelievable eyewitness scene. He's standing there bodily, blessing them, and he's ascending to heaven. Taken away from the earth and taken into heaven, into the place beyond time and space, into the glorious place where he is reunited there with all the saints of God, the angels, and he has gone back to the Father. How did Mark say it? Well, he was received into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Luke says at 24, he was carried up to heaven. Ephesians says, the Lord Jesus ascended, and as he ascended, he gave gifts to men. He'd give us, and his ascension, he gives us his grace. He gives us grace gifts, spiritual gifts. Peter said that he ascended to heaven after angels, powers, and principalities were made subject to him. He was taken up in glory. When the Lord Jesus finished his work, when his work was completed on the earth, after he was revealed in flesh, vindicated in the Spirit, seen of angels, proclaimed on among the nations, believed on in the world, he was taken up in glory. The one who started his life in total humility and suffering and sacrifice, this one who humbled himself to die for the sins of the world, is now glorified and ascends to heaven. So we see in Acts chapter 1 these four observations I want us to get to for just a moment, and we'll take it through this and allow Luke to teach us about the importance of Jesus being taken up in glory. Look, here's the confidence of the Christian life. He was taken up in glory. Here's the courage of the Christian life. He was taken up in glory. He hasn't left us. His physical presence is not with us. We'll find in the days ahead, I'm going to be talking to you about how the Lord Jesus prepared to go back to the Father. But so many things happened as a result of the Lord being taken up to glory. So many things that benefit us and bless us as a result of being believers in Christ. So let's let Luke do give us some clarity about what it was like historically just before he was taken up to glory. Number one, Jesus Christ was taken up in glory after he gave commands to the apostles. Now go back to your Bible, look in chapter 1, verse 2 of the book of Acts. Jesus was doing and teaching and doing good in the Gospel of Luke and all the other Gospels. Notice, until the day he was taken up into heaven. No longer does the Lord Jesus heal on the earth physically. No longer does the Lord Jesus teach on the mountainside or someone's home physically. The Lord Jesus, he is not with us. What did Peter teach us? We'll talk more about it in the days ahead. I want to really labor on it with you. Though we have not seen him, we love him. Though we do not see him now, he's talking about physical sight, we rejoice with glory, full of glory. You see, in verse number 2, until the day was taken up, notice, by the Holy Spirit, he gave orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Before Jesus Christ was taken up into glory, he gave the apostles orders. I grew up in Oklahoma close to Tinker Air Force Base, and many of my friends were military children. And we all know, those of you who are military background, we all understand that's just, there's something about it. And I remember multiple times in high school, I'd be with my friend Jeff and a couple of friends their fathers were in the military, and they all came and said, well, you know, I'm going to be going, we're moving next week. My father got his orders. When your orders come from your military commanders, you do what your orders say for you to do. You go where your orders send you. You follow the orders of your superior. You follow the orders. I find it interesting that here Luke uses this very strong word. It's a military word. He says the Holy Spirit gave orders to the apostles. The Lord Jesus wanted to make it clear the orders that he was giving to us, now listen to me, are the orders he has given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer here today, you're under orders. Your orders are the orders of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us orders. He said that we're to preach the gospel of repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all the nations. That continues. We're under orders. The Lord Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. That takes time. That's why we meet as a church. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you always. We're under orders. Just as the apostles were under orders, and bless God and thank God for the faithfulness and obedience of the apostles, they, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these things down for us. We have our gospels. We have our letters from the apostles. We have what we need so that we can understand our orders. Look, I'm trying to wake you up, church. You're under orders. You don't have the option to sit around and say, well, when I have some extra time, I'll help Jesus out. I'll do something for the Lord when I have the time in my busy schedule. Everything else in your life is subservient to following your orders from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was taken up in glory and he left us his orders. Jesus Christ was taken up in glory, secondly, after he presented himself alive from the dead. This is such an important thing. Look at verse 3. To these same ones he presented himself alive after suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. We read all these witness, eyewitness accounts of the Lord Jesus appearing. He showed up with a couple of them walking on the road. He showed up with one. He went to Peter alone. He went to the disciples in various groupings of them when they were behind those closed doors for fear of the Jews. After Jesus was dead, now he's alive, and they witnessed, some of them, the empty tomb. They went there, and then they believed and they were amazed. And the Lord Jesus even was eating fish with them to show them that he was truly fully human, fully God after he was raised from the dead. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't some kind of a mirage. And he said to them, "Touch my hands, touch my side." He embraced them, he hugged them, and he also was out on the side of the Sea of Galilee, there at the waterside, and he cooked breakfast for several of his disciples. He was eating fish with them. He was eating with them, drinking with them. He was embracing them, touching them. They were touching him. That's why John writes in 1 John, "The things we have seen and touched with our own hands." They touched the Lord Jesus Christ after he came back from the dead. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the testimony of these faithful ones who proclaimed him among the nations and wrote these precious words for us so that we might believe and share them with others. He's very much alive today, the Lord Jesus. How do you live and think about the Lord Jesus? Do you think about him? Well, he was such a good man. He is the glorious one, not was, he is. Do you think of him as just someone from the past you read about in history? Or are you confronted with the fact that Jesus Christ is very much alive this very moment? He is in a glorious place beyond our imagination. He has ascended there and been taken up, but he will come again. He is alive and he knows what's going on in your life. And he's very much concerned with the way you're living. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you're under orders. You must do what he's called you to do. He demonstrated all of these proofs so that they would have no doubt of the one who was commanding them to do these things. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. He revealed to them the truths that they needed to know and that the church needs to know so that we might grow in God's grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we have. We have orders from the Lord Jesus Christ as a church. They were given to us from the apostles. Now we give them to the next generation. That's the job. And we give them to the next, and to the next, and to the next. And when we're some of us in heaven, the next group goes on. We go on, we go on. We make disciples. We multiply ourselves together. And we keep sharing the gospel outside the walls of this church. And we do so because we know and we worship as we did today. Were you worshiping a thought or an idea today? Or were you worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ who is alive and engaged in our worship today? As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. He is, "I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that he's living. Whatever men may say, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Listen, I'm giving you my testimony. He walks with me, talks with me." Does he do that for you? All along life's narrow way, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. So the Lord Jesus demonstrated that he was alive. He took pains for 40 days. 40 days is a good long while. We've been talking to the church, and I continue to talk to you about the importance of taking your spiritual gifts inventory. We have it online. Please take it. We're asking as many in our church who are members of this church to do so. Why? Because those gifts were given to you so that you might serve this church and others. That's why you have those gifts. Well, they're given to you, and as a result of that, we carry out the work of God. The point of it is that we do those things in order that we might honor and glorify Jesus and carry out his orders in this world. But then he also promised something. Perhaps the greatest promise that the Lord Jesus gave to the church is the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the days ahead, we're going to go back to John's gospel, and we're going to spend some time, some weeks, Lord willing, looking at John 13 through 16. And I'm going to talk to you about living on the promises of Jesus. Living on the promises of Jesus. Some of you have been greatly disappointed because people have broke their promises to you I understand that. I know what it's like to have promises broken, but I also know what it's like for God to keep His promises. Promises made are promises kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we live on. We live on the promises of God. Here's the greatest of promises, and He'll talk about it when we look at those words together. But here we read it, gathering them together, verse 4, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Another command. But wait. Wait for something. Go to Jerusalem. I'm leaving. Wait. By the way, He's saying this before they know what He's going to do. We've read the whole 11 verses. They're still being commanded. The Lord's still speaking to them. They have no idea what's getting ready to happen in verse 9. They have no idea. They didn't know like we know. We've read the whole story. They're experiencing it. He says, go wait in Jerusalem. Go wait, for John baptized with water, verse 5, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's the experience of every Christian. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you experience baptism by the Holy Spirit of God, and you are changed forever. Your life is not the same. You experience things in new ways. You have a new power and an ability. Your values and desires change. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You listen as the Holy Spirit shows you the Word of God and opens it to you. So what does He say? Verse 8, those famous words, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I remind every believer in this room, the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit came upon you when you were saved. You now are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. You're either living a Spirit-filled life or you've slipped away and you're in sin again and you've grieved the Holy Spirit and quenched the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. For those who have slipped away today as a believer, you must repent of your sins and come back to the Lord so that you be filled with the Spirit so that you do what God's called you to do. You can't carry out the orders of our Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The church is to be a demonstration of power in the world. We are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the way we live. We don't walk around with our hands, wringing our hands, woe is me, worrying about the devil or the world or something else. We live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do our work for God by His power. We don't do it by our education, by our training. We appreciate all of that. But we live, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what will you do? You will go out and tell everybody you meet about Jesus Christ. You'll go to the ends of the earth, He says, from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You will be my witnesses. And how will you do this? How will you go on this, listen, this global mission? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How will the church carry out its work in this world today? By the power of the Holy Spirit who is in you. And then finally, we see here that Jesus Christ was taken up in glory and will come to earth in glory again. Here's the way I would say it. He was taken up. You must keep looking up. He was taken up. You must keep looking up. Now here we find a strange occurrence with the disciples. This is such a mysterious, powerful thing. All they could do was, and the word is, gaze. They couldn't stop looking at heaven. Why? Read with me verse 9. After He had said, now by the way, these things are either true or they're a lie. We ought to pack up, go home if they're lies. If Jesus Christ isn't truly risen from the dead, we, Paul said, are the most miserable of people. But if they're true, then we're challenged by them in the way we live. Notice, and after He had said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on. He's speaking and He's being lifted up. He's being lifted up. There, by the way, boys and girls, there's no spaceship. There was no spaceship. The Lord didn't speak to them and say, by the way, now let me get my spacesuit on. Hold on just a second. He's standing there with His robe on, His clothes of just a common man in those days. And all of a sudden, as He's speaking, the Lord Jesus is gloriously, amazingly, it's stupendous, it's unbelievable what I'm trying to tell you. They saw Him. He starts, gravity can't hold Him. He's rising up. He's rising up. And while they're looking on, a cloud receives him out of their sight. And so as they were gazing intently, that is, they couldn't stop looking up. They were gazing intently, verse 10, into the sky while he was going. And behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, angels. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." They're looking up. My friends, some of you, hear me today as your pastor. You need to look up. You've been looking down too long. You've been looking around too long. You're worried about your circumstances. You're concerned and your paranoia is eating you up. You're troubled and worried. The worries and cares of the world are eating you up. You don't know which way to go, which way to look. You're looking down. You're discouraged. You're defeated. You feel like you don't know what to do. The troubles that have come in on you seem to be so great, you have no idea what to do. The reality is, when we are in our greatest trouble, we don't look down, we look up. We look up. You know, the wonderful thing about the Jewish people, when they pray looking up. John chapter 17, when the Lord Jesus was praying, he looked up. You look up. Our redemption comes from above. Look to the skies. The Lord Jesus will return again. He is the one who is coming again, my friends. He is coming physically, bodily, back to the earth. He will come back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And if we think things are being rearranged in our world today by political forces, I promise you, you've never seen anything what will happen when the Lord Jesus comes back to arrange things permanently in his glorious return and his reign for 1,000 years on this earth. He shall reign where'er the sun doth its courses run, the hymn says. The Lord Jesus is now ascending and he's blessing them as he goes. It's sweet to read in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24:50 says, and he led them out to Bethany. By the way, where did he ascend from? He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't call Pilate up and the high priests and all the Pharisees who killed him. He didn't call any of them up. He goes to Bethany. Go Google it. It's not a very big place. It's a little tiny village. The Lord Jesus, the most astounding event next to the resurrection from the dead, takes place in a little tiny village. He takes them out to Bethany and he lifts up his hands and blesses them. And while he is blessing them, here's what you remember as you think about the Lord being taken up in glory. He's blessing all the way out of sight. He's blessing the church all the way out of sight. He blessed them, he parted from them, and was carried up into heaven. And what did they do? This leads me now finally to what we need to remember. What did they do? They worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I know that he is living. So what do? Every day. Every day I start my day. Every day I end my day. I end my day and throughout the day, I seek to honor and glorify and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He led them out, he blessed them, and they worshiped him. This is the way, that's confidence for the Christian life. The Lord Jesus has blessed us. He has blessed us, and I'm going to say more about this in the days ahead, but I'm reminding you, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. He has blessed you with everything. There's not any blessing you're going to miss as a result of being born again and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We live as the blessed ones. We live as the blessed ones. We are those who've been blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He blessed them. He gifted them. He graced them. That's all that we receive from this glorious event of the Lord being taken up. The Lord said, it's better for me to be taken up and to go to the Father for you as the church. It's better for us today with Jesus gone physically than it would be if he were here today. That's an amazing thing to think about. The second thing I remind you of as we finish is that it's time to set your mind on spiritual things. It's time to set your mind on real things that are happening beyond time and space. You see, there's an unseen world we do not know, but the Bible tells us a little about it. It's an unseen world filled with the glorious angels and living creatures around the throne of God. It is a place where the saints of God have gathered for all these years who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith in God. It is that glorious place of heaven, and the Lord Jesus is the center of that place. I wonder, my friends, how often do you think about heaven rather than your farm? How often do you think about heaven rather than a big payout, a big check on payday? How often do you think about heaven rather than watching your ball team win the championship? How often do you think about the Lord Jesus? Is your mind set on Jesus Christ? The Word of God says the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. I can tell you what your mind is when it's set on other things: trouble, fear, dread, worry. You see, when you fix your mind on the Lord Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, fix your mind on Jesus, set your eyes on Him, who for the joy set before Him and despised the shame. He endured the cross, but now He's in glory and He's sitting down as the reigning King. You see, we've just seen the president come into office, and so now he sits down in the Oval Office. He sits down to do that. You sit down. Now, those who are in Congress, they sit down. They sit down to do their work, to deliberate, to carry out the work. Our glorious Lord Jesus is sitting down. He sits down. He has now crushed the devil under his feet. He now sits down. He is the one who is King of Kings. We honor and glorify Him. We say Jesus is Lord. And no one can say Jesus is Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Lord. You surrender to Him. That means you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, what are my orders for today? And you know what they are. Go tell people about Jesus and disciple the ones you lead to Jesus. Those are your orders. Go and love one another while you're doing it. Go, get your work done. Lord, what would you have me do? Share the gospel, make disciples, love one another. So set your mind on the Lord Jesus, and when you think you're in your worst place, Brother Mike just read it for us earlier, come to the throne of grace where the Lord Jesus is there to hear what you need. Listen, let me just read it as we finish. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, passed through all of the created heavens, this is the mystery and unbelievable glory of the Lord Jesus Christ's ascension. He leaves time and space and goes physically with His glorified body to another dimension beyond our imagination. Go home and think about that today. With His glorified body, there in that place, representing, by the way, first fruits, one day we'll be in a glorious place with a glorified body. Praise the Lord. You see, Jesus has passed through the heavens. Hold on to your confession. Hold on to your confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hold on to your confession. Look, the world pushes you around. The world's a bully. The world's a bully. The devil's a bully. They want to push you around. They want to push you around. The devil for sure wants you to not confess Jesus as Lord. So he'll bring it on. He'll push on you. He'll distract you. The world has always put you, be conformed to us or we're going to punish you. Bullies. Hold on to your confession. Trials and troubles. You didn't even expect them. You didn't even know. You didn't even want them or ask for them. But you have all these troubles that cave in on your life. Some of them physical, some of them emotional, some of them in your family, some of them individual. You get pushed around. It's easy to lose your confession. Hold on to it. since Jesus has passed through the heavens, hold on to your confession. We have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. He knows what it's like to live in this world because he is one of us. He is fully human. So draw near to the throne of grace. When you can't even say any other words, just go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And you have a high priest who will hear, because this is the promise. Draw near to the throne of grace. I'm speaking to you, my Christian friend. Draw near to the throne of grace and you will receive mercy and find grace, listen, to help you in your time of need. Great is the mystery of godliness. He was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and praise God, he was taken up in glory. To the praise of the glory of his grace, oh, Pastor Mike, you know what I'm going to say. The judge, the real judge, the real boss, the real king, the real authority, the absolute authority. He's at the door. He's about to come through the door. And so the church prays. And we live it. Come, Lord Jesus.